You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
I love this passage because it really speaks to worship. It speaks to a pure heart of intercession. Moses never ever says anything about their sin. I'm tired of them too, God. These people were about to stone me in Exodus 17. At Rephidim, they picked up rocks to kill me. Moses never says that. He never rehearses history. If you allow history to talk to you, you'll never intercede. Because there's enough trash in history to block our intercession.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Write it down, number three, intercession requires standing between. Intercession requires standing between. The text is rich. Verse 48 again, and he stood between the dead and the living. I want to go back to the text because it's rich. Verse 41 says, the next day all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Same thing happens in churches today. People go through crisis, they complain against authority. None of it works anyway. No, you're not working. You're not even consistent. I'm going to be talking about consistency later on today. You're not even consistent because consistency starts with a determination or decision. When you make a decision, and this is not God making the decision, you have to make a decision to be consistent. When you make a decision, you cut off options. And then after the decision, you must be committed to it. You must commit to the decision you made. And now we step in the realm of consistency. There's some that haven't ever made a decision to be consistent. They have never determined to do what's right. They just wing it from one week to the next, or from one paycheck to the next, or from one desire to the next. There is nothing concrete. What works for me right now? That kind of character cannot carry the weight of destiny. You will abort destiny easily if you can't commit to anything or remain consistent. And this is what happens in congregations. If you ever want to know what pastoring is like, read the book of Numbers. Then you'll see if you want. I believe I'm a pastor. See, because my grandmama told me that you're a pastor. You see, when you came out the womb, you had a veil over your face. What does that mean, you had a veil? That was the placenta, a screen over you. That's natural birth. Nobody comes out their mother's womb with a veil hanging from their face. It's placenta. Nobody comes out their mother's womb with a gift like that. No, it has to be developed. Get that out of your mind. She was affirming you. She was just wanting you to know you're special. Don't put it in a spiritual context. You'll never go after God. Yeah, I had a gift. I can just interpret dreams when I was three. Don't trust that. Gifts have to be developed over a period of time. I wouldn't trust anybody that came out of their mother's womb just gifted. I wouldn't trust it. People have talents. Holy Ghost gives gifts. The Bible says you were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. That's why we have baby dedication, so we can curse the enemy. While you're playing games, and look, you're so beautiful, you got to break curses. You got to stop bloodlines. You don't know. You got to make sure that the devil that feels like he has a right to that child is pushed back. Yeah. We have to intercede for them. Yeah. Not just give them simile. Yeah. We got to stand over them at night and pray. Sometimes they wake up and they won't stop crying. Why? Why are they crying and there's nothing wrong? We don't know where the tormentor is. Oh, my God. And I believe the enemy is not only visiting infants, he's visiting wombs before they're born. Because everybody wants to play games and that's not the right atmosphere. And our families need intercession. Oh my God. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 16, I want you to read it, because if you ever wanted to pastor, this is what you're going to deal with. If you ever wanted to do full-time ministry, read the book of Numbers. I just want to be full-time in ministry. It is not glamorous. It's like being in an emergency room and nobody says thank you. Everybody wants top care, but nobody wants to pay the bill. Everybody wants to sue the doctor. Everybody wants to self-medicate. Doctor give instruction. This is how you clear your bowel. See, my grandma say, take a shot. Oh. Of Hennessy. Hypnotic. Hypnotic. Mixed with Hennessy turns into the Hulk. Turns green. Yeah, that'll take care of it. No, it won't. You're listening to the world. Your genie is telling you what to do. You rubbing your genie. And you wonder why we're in trouble. I'm trying, Mama, really. You letting your genie tell you what it's going to give you. I want riches and all of that like it can save you. You can't take none of that with you. Amen. Elon Musk, trillionaire. He can't take it with him. Man, I love this passage. It's so powerful. And the Bible says, and they complained against Moses and Aaron. You have killed us, the people of the Lord. Verse 42, now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses. You mean tell me you can have opposition so bad that people are fighting the vision in your church? Absolutely. All of y'all, I can't believe church people would do it. Look at the scripture. People will fight vision. I'm not with that, and try to gather a consensus in the midst. And you do that best when you backbite and you complain to other people. Anytime you get on the phone and try to pull people into your dysfunction, you're acting like number 16. After this message, anybody call you up talking noise about what they feel, hang up, please. Say, I'm out. If you ever want to get things done, complain up. Never lateral and never down. Come and talk to the people that can get it changed. Verse 42, now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron that they turned toward what? See, this is what happens when people complain against you. Usually we turn inward. And here's self-righteousness. They hurt me. And self-preservation. I got to protect me. That's why I don't deal with nobody. What did they turn to? They turn toward the meeting place. They turn toward the meeting place. They didn't back away from God's house. They didn't back away from the system. They turned toward the tabernacle. This is what leaders have to do, and this is what you should do. When you're going through your worst time and struggle, you don't bypass God's house and his system and get lost in your own life and in your own way, and I got to find my way. You've got to turn back to the house of God. You've got to turn back to the assembly. You've got to find peace in God's house, because in God's house there's peace. In God's house there's growth. In God's house there's comfort. Stop turning away from God's house. I'm going. I need some me time. No, you need God's time. You need intercession. They turn toward the tabernacle of meeting. And as soon as they turn, suddenly, somebody say suddenly. When they turn, instead of dealing with the complaint and the issues and talking about what people are doing, and they turn their heart toward the tabernacle, a suddenly appeared. The cloud covered it. Glory showed up. The glory of the Lord appeared tangibly. And we see here the Shekinah of God, and he's in the midst of it. When Moses saw the presence of the Lord actually applauding their turn to the tabernacle, Moses came before the tabernacle of the meeting. And then the Lord spoke to him. What favor of God that when God's glory show up, you the one that can go and talk to him. That's why when Moses messed up bad, and people, God told them, listen. I think he said it to Miriam and Aaron. Listen, I speak to prophets in dreams, but to this one, I speak face to face. This is the one that intercedes for you all. This is the one I would have consumed you if it wasn't for him. He's standing in the midst. He's a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Like Jesus, Father, forgive them. Oh my God, for they know not what they do. And the Lord spoke to Moses, said, get away from the congregation and I will consume them in a moment. But Moses fell on his face and Aaron. I love this passage because it really speaks to worship. It speaks to a pure heart of intercession. Moses never ever says anything about their sin. I'm tired of them too, God. These people were about to stone me in Exodus 17. At Rephidim, they picked up rocks to kill me. Moses never says that. He never rehearses history. If you allow history to talk to you, you'll never intercede. Because there's enough trash in history to block our intercession. There's enough occurrences in God's house, not just in the world, that if you allowed it to get to you, you'll never engage in this. Moses separates history from this moment. He fell on his face. He worships. He commands Aaron, run. In the midst of the assembly. I like verse 46. So Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in it. Where? From the altar. Put fire in it from the altar. Make sure what you're about to do now is authorized by God. Don't add any of your mixture in it. You're not building a calf now. Because you got a history. You got a history that when you stand in the midst of the people, you give them what they want. When you get a little notoriety, you give them what they want. A people pleaser. You throw gold in the fire and a calf comes out. And you sit back and say, look what I've done. You can easily step into false worship because you don't know how to handle accolades. But I need you to do something, Aaron. Take a censer. Put fire in it. You're used to fire because you use fire to develop a golden calf. But this fire comes from the altar, not a bonfire. Take that fire quickly. Glory to God. Put it in a censer. Take it quickly to the congregation. Make atonement for it. I want to make sure we see this because it's very powerful. I'm almost done with my message. He said, not only take the fire from the altar, put incense on it. That means when you light it, it's going to be a scent that comes from it. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard or smelled roadkill. In 1980, Doris was born, and my father and myself and Nick, we drove because his younger brother died of cerebral palsy, I believe. His name was Saul. And myself and Nick loved him, but he started walking on his toes, and then he couldn't walk on his toes anymore, and then he started crawling on all fours. Then he started dragging himself, and then they put him in a wheelchair. But his mind was sharp. And he could remember statistics, like with baseball or football. Each player. I was fascinated with Saul. Anyway, we got news that he passed away. So my father, myself, and Nick, we got in the vehicle and we drove to Mississippi. When we get close to the house, obviously there was roadkill because this is a country road. Because it was raining and a scent came in our car. And I said, what is that? And my father said to me that something got hit by a car. Some type of animal. You just smelt roadkill. So obviously he was familiar with that scent. But it was fresh to me. I still remember it. I know what it's like to smell that. Something bust wide open. I want you to get this because I believe Aaron could smell it. But God told him, when you get this fire, it needs to come from the altar. You need to put it in a censer, hallelujah. And you need to make sure incense is there because you're going to smell the scent of death. You're going to sense death, but I don't want you consumed with it. Oh, my God. I don't want you talking about how it smells. And that's why you need in your nose a fresh aroma of the glory of God. You need to make sure you can sniff not what you went through and not the death, but you can sense his presence. And when you run in the midst of him, it will give you courage to stand in the middle until the plague stops. And some of us, we're trying to stand in the middle, but we can smell death. We're trying to stand in the middle, but we remember what we did. We're trying to stand in the middle, but we remember the golden calf. And God says, if you put incense in it, you'll catch the aroma of my presence, which will help you to stay in the middle until the plague stops. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Moses gives Aaron specific instruction. Make atonement for them, for wrath has begun. It's gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. They could smell it. Aaron obeyed Moses' command and ran into the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun to kill them and wipe them off the face of the earth. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stopped. God recognizes intercession. And he stood in the middle and made atonement for them. God forgive them. You don't even see blood. Just obey the instruction. For them to be delivered from Egypt, blood had to be put over the doorpost. But to stop the plague, I don't need the blood to stop the plague. I need obedience. If you do it exactly the way I tell you, this is all that's required. Make atonement for them. Intercede for them. You don't have to absorb their sins. You don't have to send out a scapegoat. You don't have to be deep in your theology. But will you stand in the middle until the plague stops? Until they come off crack? Until they stop spending their money on ganja? Until they stop mixing hypnotic and Hennessy and wonder why they're losing their jobs? Going to work intoxicated or high. So high, so high, I get so high, I get so high. I was sitting in the midst of a group of young people under 40. When that song came on, they all got on the floor. So high, so high. I said, what song is that? So high, I get so high. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all don't know. They know. I think this group came out of Miami. They're talking about smoking reefer. I'm so high, so high. I get so high, I get so high. That make you dance? Ah, so high, so high, so high. Can't get you to worship. When it's time to worship, you just sitting there looking. But I play that song now. Even the casual ones. So high, 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 so high. Can I get you to dance to an intercession? Can I get you to tune up and stand in the middle? Even young people, even young adults, can I get you to get that serious? When you see death and you got the materials, you should be able to stand in the middle for your friends. They don't know what you just heard. You're going to go and get with them, or you're going to stand in the middle between the dead and the living, not living with the dead. Between the dead and the living. And eventually, when the plague stops, come back to the living. Yeah. Number four. I preached it already. Aaron carries incense. I believe this incense is so powerful it'll mess you up, because it stops you from smelling. God don't want you to smell what you're looking at. There's a dumb word. You got to look at it, but when you smell it, it goes deeper. I still remember the roadkill smell, and I was a teenager. And death don't smell good. Yet in the spirit, it becomes attractive to those who are dead. Listen to what I just said. It's very powerful. Death don't smell good, but to the dead, it's attractive. Jesus said in John 3, and this is their condemnation, because they choose death or darkness rather than light. Because deeds are evil. The light has come, but they will rather choose darkness than light because their deeds are dead. Anytime the light shows up and you say, I'm just going to go right here and do what I want to do, it means deeds aren't right. It's right there in John chapter 3. And Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, who comes to him by night. And a lot of people don't want to be seen with God during the day. They sneak at night. I'll pay my little bill to God, my homage to God, pay my vow. But I don't want people to know that I'm a believer. Jesus gives that man, even though he came by night, the truth. He gives him the truth. You must be born again, Nicodemus. That which is flesh is flesh. What do you mean? Should I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? Absolutely not. That which is flesh is flesh. But that which is spirit is spirit. You can't bypass it. You must be born again. It doesn't matter what you've done in life. You've got to come through this canal. You must be born again. Spiritually. You got to accept Jesus in your heart. When you do that, the whole life opens up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I, if I be lifted up. We like to say, if he's praised, he will draw men. No, you got to preach the gospel. If I be lifted up in preaching, if I be lifted up in lifestyle, I will draw men unto me. All kinds of men will come. But this is the condemnation to the world. The light has come, but they rather choose darkness than light, for their deeds are evil. Bishop, I can't help. I can't break the association. Deeds are evil. You smell the dead and become comfortable with dead smells. And you have not allowed your nose to tune in to the incense that comes straight from the coals.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you are blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org.
Ladies, you are invited. Join us for the Awaken Manifest Conference kickoff on Saturday, August 22nd at 9 a.m. at TR Main. Wear any Awaken t-shirt as we gather together and prepare our hearts to manifest our destiny. Don't miss this time of fellowship and encouragement. Ladies, it's time to manifest. Join host Pastor Sabrina on September 25th and 26th at TR Main for two powerful days of surrendered hearts, disciplined faith, and intentional steps. Hotel accommodation is available at Hampton Inn and Suites in West Melbourne. Use group code MNF or mention Manifest Women's Conference for a special two-night rate. Don't wait to secure your spot. Head over to the Truth Reveal app or register online today.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.